Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 2:09 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 28th. And today was a pretty eventful day, and not least because the central banks have been either surprising us or backpedaling on what they said yesterday. So Mario Draghi said that the deflationary threat was gone yesterday, and that spooked markets. The Bund in particular had a pretty big move. And today they were backpedaling on that, saying, wow, we didn't expect anyone to respond in that manner. And what we're really trying to say is that the expansion is in line with what we've been saying, and that we're not going to be tampering with the quantitative easing. At the same time, the Bank of England had a different tack. Last week, they said that everything was fine and that they weren't going to be raising interest rates. And today, they made a rather different statement. So the pound was up in a rather dynamic manner. But I think the pound has got a really quite a different chart to the euro. The most important thing that it did was trend lower for 3 years. And that is quite apart from what it did before the Brexit vote. And then it stopped going down. It found support around 120. And it really is worth looking at the even longer term chart, because that 120 level hasn't really been even remotely close to being tested since 1985. So it's a pretty depressed level for the pound. And if we track back to that 10-year chart, then we can see that it bounced, it broke up out of that range, and now it has found support in the region of the trend mean. This looks different than anything that we've seen in the last 3 years. It suggests that the potential for a recovery in the pound is reasonable, that there is a reasonable argument for why the pound should be doing better. And if that's the case, then what we can also say is that there is the potential that the UK could exit its stimulus program ahead of the Eurozone. So when we look at the pound versus the euro, then we have certainly had more trading at the upper side of this six-month range. For a brief time today, the pound was working on an upside key reversal. But this is the upper side of this range. It's also close to that 90p area, which has been a bit of a barrier for much of the last 6 or 7 years. So there is the potential, at least, that the pound could steady from here. Of course, neither the UK nor the EU wants the strongest currency in the world, but the reality is that a lot of I think that the better way to think about it is that there are fewer surprises expected from the US right now. The Fed is talking about reducing the size of their balance sheet, but people are still pretty skeptical, and the Fed itself has been really quite vocal in saying that it is going to take a very long time to reduce the size of the balance sheet. We've already been through the tapering. We've already been through quite a lengthy period of time where they haven't been engaged in quantitative easing, and they've even raised interest rates. So there has been less to surprise markets with regard to the USA. It's quite a different story for just about everywhere else. The Japanese are still engaged in quantitative easing, so is Europe, so is the UK. They are going to be still engaged in quantitative easing for quite a while longer, because their economic expansions are really only beginning to gain traction, and having worked so hard to achieve them, the chances are that they're not going to be raising interest rates in a hurry. But most particularly for the UK, because there is all of this discussion about Brexit, and the outcome is really quite uncertain. So then they may have an inflationary problem, and certainly the Bank of England has demonstrated that they're willing to run inflation hot, but how long are they going to be able to do that for is the big question. What we have seen, though, is with the dollar index here, that it has been trending lower since the beginning of the year. It failed at that 98 level, and now it has broken down to a new low. On the weekly chart, then it is clear that it and if it failed upside break above 100, it is trending now down towards the lower side of what is a developing more than 2-year range, and it has found support previously around 92, and it's at 96 right now, so it still has a ways to go before we come back to the next area of potential support. This was a pretty volatile day for the bond markets, and US Treasuries were down by 27 ticks. They have pulled right back to this 155 area. It was down to 154 at one point today, but it is 155 is the upper side of the range. It represents the region of the trend mean. If the benefit of the doubt is to be given to additional higher to lateral ranging, it is absolutely going to have to find support soon. Otherwise, it's going to represent a failed upside break. And if it's a failed upside break, and then we would have to conclude that the same situation is evident here that we've seen in the dollar index, that failed upside break there, and most particularly because right now the treasury price is working on a weekly key reversal. Of course, we're only on Wednesday. So what happens through the balance of the week is going to have an influence on the strength of that pattern. But if we get downside follow through next week, well, then we will have evidence of a failed upside break. And then the likelihood is that it will go back down and test the lower side of that range. With some of that hedging activity coming out of the bond markets, equity markets were in positive territory on Wall Street today. They are also responding to the lower dollar. And because there is a good many exporters among the large cap US shares, that they will be benefiting from consolidating those earnings back into US dollars. So the NASDAQ was up over 1% today and almost unwound the entire decline that we saw yesterday. It has continued to hold around, well, above this 5,600 level. And so far, that is a reasonable steadying and suggests that we might be confined to a range here for a little while longer. But there is still quite a wide overextension relative to the trend mean. And if it can hold within what has been a very moderate range, that will be a very benign scenario indeed. The NASDAQ Volatility Index has pulled back in here today. It had been in positive territory in early trading. It will have to break the progression of higher reaction lows, which are currently around 14, in order to really confirm that the increasing sense of risk in the NASDAQ has abated entirely. But the VIX index is at was also down today, down a full point, a completely unwound yesterday's advance, and it's back to 10 again. I think it is worth reiterating that this is an extraordinary set of circumstances where the number of times that the index has traded below 10 has proliferated in the last 2 months, whereas previous to this, it has been extraordinarily rare. So this is on a standard deviation basis, we are out there on the fringes of what would have been considered possible not that long ago. In the meantime, the S&P 500 has continued to be really quite steady, and it was up 21 points in here today. So it has been ranging just about all of this month, and it is pushing up towards the upper side of the range, and this has been a very inert period. The last time trading was this inert was back in December and January, and that range was concluded or resolved by a pretty emphatic move on the upside. So the longer it ranges, the greater the potential is that this range will be resolved on the upside, because more of the overextension relative to the trend mean will have been unwound. It's also worth highlighting today the banking sector. The S&P 500 Banks Index has been ranging pretty much since the end of last year, and that ranging has unwound the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So it is firming in here today, not least because of the results of the Fed stress tests, which increase the potential that those banks will be able to start paying dividends, or perhaps more accurately, increase their stock buybacks. So it has firmed now to the upper side of this three-month range. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it is looking like it is going to move higher from here. The KRX, Regional Banks Index, has been a pretty reliable lead indicator for the banking sector, not least because it is a pure US story. It has been somewhat more volatile over the last few weeks, and now it is firming from the region of the moving average once more, and from that psychological 100 level as well. In the commodity markets, oil prices were additionally steady in here today, up another 70 cents, 78 cents. This has now broken the progression of lower rally highs. So we are beginning to see some evidence of short covering, but not in the same dynamic manner that we saw in months previous. It is just proving to be a bit harder for oil prices to rally, and not least because the cost of producing from those shale oil wells in Texas in particular has come down considerably. There's been a great deal of hedging activity, so there's a short-term oversold condition. It is being unwound, but because we have not had these emphatic upward dynamics, the chances are that I personally think it's quite unlikely that we're going to get all the way back up to 55 on the basis of the kind of trading that we've had. It is really just one downward dynamic away from really looking like the trend could be extended on the downside. And gold prices, having had that what might be considered an almost flash crash event earlier this week, they have struggled around this $1,250 area. They've been trading in this area now for nearly 2 weeks. This is around where, if support is to be found, so that the progression of higher reaction lows can be sustained, then this is around where it should be happening. But we really do need some confirmation, similar to what we saw in March, that we had a nice clear upward dynamic to break the downward bias. And if we were to get something like that, that would then hold out the prospect of a rally back above $1,300. So what happens over the next few days will be, I think, rather instructive with regard to the precious metals. And the copper price has steadied again. It's up another 1.3 cents. And now it is above the mid-June high. And then there is a clear upward bias. It has certainly bounced from $2.50. And this is looking increasingly like a recovery trajectory, and I think that this is really quite a nice teaching example that we had a very inert period of trading following a multi-year decline all the way through 2016, and then we get this massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's so often that these type 2 bottoms are followed by a period of right-hand extension, and that is what we're getting now with the copper price. Arguably, it's what we're getting with the gold price as well. It's just that gold has gone on for probably longer than many people would have been initially comfortable with. So the most important thing about copper is that if it holds the 250 area, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at the performance of global indices, while Wall Street was in positive territory, the vast majority of other markets were mildly negative. The Italian index was stronger, and not least because of the banking sector there. The Australian index is worth highlighting. It was stronger by a full percent in here today. And this is at least beginning to demonstrate support in the region of the lower side of its range and the region of the 200-day moving average. And as long as it's doing that, then the potential for it to be able to sustain a move above 6,000 at some point over the next few months, I think, could probably be given the benefit of the doubt. The Chinese renminbi has been strengthening up, and it is now testing its peaks from earlier in June. It's still in the region of the trend mean, but this is quite different trading than we've seen previously. If it were to break down, or if the dollar were to break down, then that would complete the top formation. That we've already seen the breakdown from the peak, and now we're getting some a first step below that peak, if we get a move to a new low by the dollar, then that would suggest that the renminbi's 3-year period of depreciation has ended, and that we're going to be in for a stronger renminbi environment and potentially a more volatile trading environment. And the Chinese currency getting stronger suggests that there are clear measures underway to try and stop the flow of funds out of the country. The A-share index continues to trend to trade in the region of the trend mean, but I think this is a largely manufactured market in that it is so heavily weighted by the banks, and the banks are arms of the government, and they just do not want to see any drama ahead of some pretty significant political machinations later this year. On the other hand, the Indian market has pulled back. The rupee has been a little bit weaker, and it is due a pullback, and it does look like we are in the beginnings of that. The banking index has often been a lead indicator for the Indian market, and that was in positive territory today. So that suggests that the more likely scenario is that, despite the fact that we are due some pullback and consolidation and potentially a somewhat larger reaction than we've seen over the last 6 months, which have been very, very small reactions, that's all it's likely to be, and that the medium-term bull market environment is likely to prevail. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.